Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. I'm Nicholas. My website is crosstheborder.org. And please do stop by there. Make sure you watch that short video there. Definitely worth your while. Pass it around. Click on it and go to the YouTube site. Make a make a comment there if you please. And take advantage of the other resources, the Bible studies, and other things on my website there. And most of all, take advantage of that email link there just to email me and say, hi, we're listening, we enjoy the program, or we hate the program, or you're totally wrong about this or that, and here's why. Of course, quoting me chapter and verse, because I love to be corrected. And I love to be corrected because I like to be correct. So if it takes correcting for me to be correct, then then I want to be corrected. We're here in chapter 3 of 2 Samuel. Let's see, about verse 5, we had counted that David had 6 wives and had 6 children about the same time here when he was in Hebron. Verse 6, we don't need to comment much more on that he had 6 wives. Of course, it was accepted in Israel. It was not a sin for a man to take more than one wife. Sometimes the law required a man to take another wife. So we continue here. And it came to pass in verse 6, while there was war between the house of Saul and the house of David, that Abner made himself strong for the house of Saul. And Saul had a concubine whose name was Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah. And Ishbosheth said to Abner, wherefore hast thou gone into my father's concubine? And that's like a concubine is a woman who is who belongs to a man. And in Israel, a woman was exclusive to a man. You did not share a woman. No one shared a woman. All women were exclusive, either that or they were virgins, basically, or they were unmarried and widows in Israel. That's pretty much the way it happened and pretty much the way it was accepted. If a woman was shared by several men, well, then she was called a whore. And if a man went into another man's wife or concubine, that was called adultery. So straightening out some of the terms according to the usage with the law of God here, so we understand what's going on. Apparently Abner went into, he said, his father's concubine. Well, of course, Saul is dead, so for whatever reason, perhaps the concubine belongs to Saul's son. So I guess there's an ownership issue here. And yes, we're talking time context to the scripture. Yes, people did own people. A father owned his family. He owned his children. He could sell them if he had to or wanted to. Of course, there was that higher law, and that is, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And that includes your family. That's supposed to be the overriding factor in the authority structure that we're dealing with here, or perhaps we're just putting in terms that where the same things are being practiced today, but we're putting it in terms of the time context that seem unpalatable today. You want to find out who owns your children today? Well, the state thinks they own your children. Check it out. The state is telling parents what to do all the time. I was reading some stories yesterday about children being cited in school by stupid teachers, these wicked women that rule over the children of other men and decide that they're a little too rambunctious in class. They're having a hard time sitting still. They're bored to death with the cookie cutter shape that they have to fit into, because they can't fall behind and they can't move ahead. So they sit there and squirm in their seats because, well, they're children, but it's kind of disruptive. So we need to send them to a specialist And we know several specialists that will give them drugs for ADHD and whatever alphabet soup nomoker you want to label them with. And of course, these are terrible drugs that kill children. And I've read many stories where the children actually just end up dead, overdosing on these drugs that are prescribed by these wicked people. And they're forced to by the state, because if they don't do it, then the state takes the children away, especially if there's a state-sponsored broken marriage. And I say state-sponsored broken marriage because the state makes it very easy for women to leave their husbands against God's law and to divorce them for no cause at all, and will help them and make it easier for them to get their children and collect welfare from the state, become dependent upon the state, while the state pursues their husband for every dime that he earns while depriving him of his children. That's the situation we're in today. So you want to talk about ownership. You think the terms that we're using here that were just normal in the time context of the scripture that we're reading were crude and unpalatable. Well, what we have today is unpalatable. I'm sorry. It's much worse today than it was then. At least then everyone knew where they stood. But today, well, people have the illusion of freedom. They have the illusion of being the head of their household. But just, you know, look around and watch your step and be wise in the way that you walk. And if you are part of a state-sponsored broken marriage where you have children, agree quickly before it comes to pass with your estranged spouse that you will never allow, either of you will allow your children to be drugged by the state, that you will never allow the state to pit you against each other to the destruction of your own children. Use a little wisdom. At least you can come together on that. And show your spouse these things first before they come up, and then pray that they never come up and you don't have to fight that battle. So anyway, Saul had a concubine whose name was Rizpah, the daughter of Ahiah, and Ishbosheth said to Abner, "Wherefore hast thou gone into my father's concubine?" Another thing is, he obviously did not have permission, because Ishbosheth, Saul's son, was now the head of the house according to God's law. And the concubine fell under his headship. She was under his covering. And so he stands here in the position of authority, and his authority has been thwarted by this guy Abner. So we'll pick up the story there after that long explanation, but I hope that there was something to be learned in it about government then, government today, ownership of children. And yes, I would much rather say I own my children, and they will marry who I say to marry. They will go where I say to go, because God's law says, children, honor your father. It doesn't say honor the state instead of your father. The law has not changed. So Saul's, Abner was very wroth for the words of Ishbosheth. So he got angry. What is this guy saying anything at all? He should have just kept his mouth shut. And he said, "Am I a dog's head, which against Judah do show kindness this day unto the house of Saul, thy father, to his brethren and to his friends, and have not delivered thee into the hand of David, that thou chargest me today with fault concerning this woman? So do God to Abner, and more also, except as the Lord has sworn to David, even so I do to him, to translate the kingdom from the house of Saul, and set up the throne of David over Israel and over Judah, from Dan even to Beersheba." And he could not answer Abner a word again, because he feared him. Wow, a fearful king. He fears the captain of his army. But Abner sent messengers to David on his behalf, saying, "Whose is the land?" saying, "Make thy league with me, and behold, my hand shall be with thee to bring about all Israel unto thee. And he said, well, I will make a league with thee, but one thing I require of thee, that is, thou shalt not see my face except thou first bring Michal, Saul's daughter, when thou comest to see my face. So David's first wife, basically. He's commanding Abner to bring her, or not come at all. And David sent messengers to Ish-bosheth, Saul's son, saying, deliver my wife, Michal, which I espouse to me, for 100 foreskins of the Philistines. And Ish-bosheth sent and took her from her husband, even from Phaltiel, the son of Laish. And her husband went with her, along weeping behind her, to Baharum, and said Abner unto him, go return. And he returned. And Abner had communication with the elders of Israel, saying, you sought for David in times past to be king over you. Now then do it. For the Lord has spoken of David, saying, by the hand of my servant David, I will save my people Israel out of the hand of the Philistines and out of the hand of all their enemies. And Abner also spoke in the ears of Benjamin. And Abner went also to speak in the ears of David in Hebron, all that seemed good to Israel and that seemed good to the whole house of Benjamin. So Abner came to David to Hebron, and 21 men with him. And David made Abner and the men that were with him a feast. And Abner said unto David, I will arise and go, and will gather all Israel unto my lord the king, that they make a league with thee, and that thou mayest reign over all that thine heart desireth. And David sent Abner away, and he went in peace. And behold, the servants of David and Joab came from pursuing a troop, and brought in a great spoil with them. But Abner was not with David in Hebron, for he had sent him away, and he was gone in peace. When Joab and all the host that was with him were come, they told Joab, saying, Abner the son of Ner came to the king, and he has sent him away, and he is gone in peace. Then Joab came to the king and said, what hast thou done? Behold, Abner came to thee. Why is it that thou hast sent him away, and he is quite gone? Thou knowest Abner, the son of Ner, that he came to deceive thee, and to know thy goings out and thy comings in, and to know all that thou doest. And when Joab was come out from David, he sent messengers after Abner, which brought him again to from the well of Sirah, but David knew it not. And when Abner was returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside in the gate to speak with him quietly, and smote him there under the fifth rib, that he died for the blood of Asahel, his brother. And afterward, when David heard it, he said, I and my kingdom are guiltless before the Lord forever from the blood of Abner the son of Ner. Let it rest on the head of Joab and all his father's house, and let there not fail from the house of Joab one that hath an issue, or that is a leper, or that leaneth on a staff, or that falleth on the sword, or that lacketh bread. So Joab and Abishai his brother slew Abner, because he had slain their brother Asahel at Gibeon in the battle. And David said to Joab and to all the people that were with him, rend your clothes and gird you with sackcloth, and mourn before Abner. And King David himself followed the bier. And they buried Abner in Hebron, and the king lifted up his voice and wept at the grave of Abner, and all the people wept. And the king himself, and the king lamented over Abner and said, died Abner as a fool dieth? Thy hands were not bound, nor thy feet put into fetters. As a man falleth before wicked men, thou so fallest thou. And all the people wept again over him. And when all the people came to cause David to eat meat while it was yet day, David swore, saying, so do God to me, and more also, if I shall taste bread or aught else, till the sun be down. And all the people took notice of it, and it pleased them, as whatsoever the king did pleased all the people. For all the people and all Israel understood that day that it was not of the king to slay Abner, the son of Ner. And the king said to his servant, Know ye not that there is a prince and a great man fallen this day in Israel? And I am this day weak, though anointed king, and these men, the sons of Zeruiah, be too hard for me. The Lord shall reward the doer of evil according to his wickedness. 2 Samuel chapter 4 and verse 1. And when Saul's son heard that Abner was dead in Hebron, his hands were feeble, and all the Israelites were troubled. Of course, we know he was fearful. He feared Abner. And once that he offended Abner, or Abner offended him, one or the other, Abner left off being his commander and turned to David. So his hands were feeble, and all the Israelites were troubled. And Saul's son had two men that were captains of bands. The name of the one was Baana. The name of the other was Rechab, the sons of Rimmon, the Beerothite, of the children of Benjamin, for Beeroth also was reckoned to Benjamin. And the Beerothites fled to Gittaim, and were sojourners there until this day. And of course, that would be, this day would be the day of the writing of this letter, or book, as we call it. And Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame of his feet. He was 5 years old when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel. And his nurse took him up and fled. And it came to pass, as she made haste to flee, that he fell and became lame. And his name was Mephibosheth. And the sons of Rimmon and the Beerothite, Rechab and Baana, went and came about the heat of the day to the house of Ishbosheth, who lay on a bed at noon. And they came thither into the midst of the house, as they thought they would have fetched wheat. And they smote him under the fifth rib, and Rechab and Baana, his brother, escaped. Something about under the fifth rib. Must be about where the heart is. So Rechab and Baana, his brother, escaped. And when they came to the house, he lay on his bed in his bedchamber, and they smote him and slew him and beheaded him and took his head and got them away through the plain all night. And they brought the head of Ish-bosheth unto David in Hebron and said to the king, Behold, the head of Ish-bosheth, the son of Saul, thine enemy, which sought thy life, and Yahuwah hath avenged my lord the king this day of Saul and of his seed. And David answered Rechab and Baana, his brother, the sons of Rimmon, the Beerothite, and said to them, As the Lord liveth, who hath redeemed my soul out of all adversity? When one told me, saying, Behold, Saul is dead, thinking to have brought good tidings, I took a hold of him and slew him in Ziklag, who thought that I would have given him a reward for his tidings. How much more, when wicked men have slain a righteous person in his own house upon his bed, shall I not thou therefore require his blood of your hand, and take you away from the earth? And David commanded his young men, and they slew them and cut them off, their hands and their feet, and hanged them up over the pool in Hebron. But they took the head of Ishbosheth and buried it in the sepulcher of Abner in Hebron. Well, so what's the lesson there? Well, you don't take it upon yourself to do what you think is right. When you're in an army, you follow orders. When you have a king, you follow the orders of the king. If you have an idea, you go to the king and you say, Would it please my lord if we went and got the head of the son of Saul? And of course the king would have said, absolutely not. And so, and I guess that's it. You know, that's like us today. There are many men out there. And, you know, Joshua, Jesus talks about them, and then after all, he is the King of Kings. And he said that in the day of judgment, when all men have to stand before him and give an account, he says, there's going to be many there that day that will come and say, did I not cast out devils in thy name? Did I not heal the sick? Did I not preach the word of God? Did I not bring, 10,000 souls to the Lord in one day in the great arena? And he's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. And that's what these men basically are doing. They're coming to David and going, look what I did for you. And David's going, I'm sorry, you didn't do it for me. Here's your reward. I never knew you. And they got their reward because, well, they were murderers. In the case, and if you lie and say I murdered someone expecting a reward for your treachery, well, you deserve the same death as a murderer. That's what I get out of it. We'll continue here in chapter 5, verse 1. Then came all the tribes of Israel to David unto Hebron and spoke, saying, behold, we are thy bone and thy flesh. Also in times past, when Saul was king over us, thou wast he that leddest out and broughtest in Israel. And the Lord said to thee, thou shalt feed my people Israel, and thou shalt be captain over Israel. So we see here, finally, the uniting of Israel as one nation under one king, David. You're listening to Cross the Border? Don't go anywhere.